Hello there, Dr. Alan Hedberg here with you, and this is the Psychology Report. You know, in our society, in our culture, in our communities across the nation, we have seen in the last number of years a significant increase in the amount of violence and abuse that takes place in the homes and schools and our churches, our community, playgrounds, clubs, and various places, but certainly within our relationships of all kinds, domestic violence and abuse has become all too common. And very little is being said about it or done about it to break the cycle of what seems to be an increasing and ever intense cycle of violence one towards another. So I'd like to address this a little bit today with you and just remind you that within your relationships, kindness and consideration and empathy and sympathy and understanding and just being friendly is the rule of the game, is the course to undertake, to be kind to those, even those that persecute you and are evil against you and say things against you and violate you in a number of ways. Your response is still to be within the context of civility, to be in the context of kindness and consideration and just understanding. But you know, violence is with us. Domestic violence is with us. It's learned in the home, number one. Number one, it's learned in the home. You know, if a parent is violent towards their children or a child, that child or those children become violent towards other children. We see this in bully behavior. We see this in the playground, in the schoolrooms, in various places where kids will attack another and will be abusive, you know, towards another. And when you look at those kids that do this kind of behavior, engage in this kind of behavior, we generally find, and often we'll see, the fact that they were bullied at home by a parent, generally. Often it's by an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent, or it could be by a older brother or, you know, an older sibling or whatever it might be. But somehow that child's been bullied. And then that child goes out and bullies. And the same thing in domestic violence is that kids who have been violated, kids who have had abuse perpetrated upon them, tend to treat other people in an abusive way and exercise a power of one over the other. What is domestic violence anyway? It's where we try to control another person through force. And force can come in a lot of different ways, but by pressure and by force and by power, overpowering another person, we become the controller and they become the controlee. And that is what domestic violence is all about. Whenever there's an attempt to control somebody, not to influence them, not to just have relationships with somebody, not to just have ongoing equal decision making and friendships and so on, not that kind of thing, but where we try to control the likes of another person. Now, there's a lot of different ways. Domestic violence comes in a lot of different colors. We all know about physical violence, kicking and grabbing and punching and shoving and slapping and pushing and burning and biting and kicking, choking. We all know about those. As kids, we probably have all done those things. And as parents, we probably have done something similar to that. But when we do that, we are setting the pace to teach physical violence to our children, to our younger ones. But physical violence is common. One of the other ones is sexual violence, where control over the sexual relationship is what is the purpose of the power struggle that goes on, and to expose a person to a embarrassing sexual social situation so that they will give in and do what you want them to do. Emotional violence is another one. Excessive jealousy. You know, there are a lot of guys, a lot of guys are very jealous, don't want their girlfriend or their wife or their friend to have relationships with anybody else, have friendships with anybody else. They want to be the only person in their life. They want to control that relationship through jealousy. They want to isolate their friend or their family member from anybody else and from everybody else. And that, of course, results in somebody feeling worthless and feeling that they have very little value. Verbal abuse is another one, obviously. Insults, put down, yelling, blaming, you know, minimizing another person, you know, denying. I mean, all kinds of verbal abuse takes place between people, all for the purpose of trying to manipulate that person and control that person to do what you want them to do. And there's even spiritual abuse, where we use the Bible, we use certain verses, we use certain statements, and then in case we even make it up, saying that it's in the Bible when in fact it's not. Or we'll misinterpret a verse, or we'll misstate a verse to our own goal, and to use the Bible as a way of controlling somebody and making them do what you want them to do. Make them feel guilty, make them feel shameful, if you will, so they'll do what you want them to do. And that's a very dirty game to play. The Bible is not to be abused, you know, and not to be used to the controlling other people. It's a book of love and a book of consideration, a book of caring, and a book of peace. Financial abuse also takes place, where we control the other person's finances. We limit them and how much they can spend a day or a week, or how much money they can have on them, or we don't let them have any money, and we control all the purse strings, and we control the bank accounts, and we control what access a person has to money, whether it be a child or a spouse or in a relationship or whatever. Financial abuse is common, because what we do there is use the money, use the access to the money to get what we want. That is, I'll give you this if you'll do what I want you to do. You can have this amount of money, but you must do what I want you to do. That kind of negotiation, that's domestic violence in a financial format. Obviously, destructive acts are violence as well. That is, if you destroy a person's property, you vandalize a person, you kill a person's cat or dog or animal, or you tease a person to the point of view that you destroy something that's important to them, something of value to them, some kind of property that they have it, which is a great value to them. That's destructive violence, if you will. So we have a number of different kinds of violence that takes place. It's not just physical, it's not just verbal, but all kinds of violence takes place and abuse takes place in relationships. But whenever you are trying to get somebody to do something that you want them to do, and you use some means, a physical means or a sexual means or an emotional means or a verbal statement, or use the Bible, or you use finances or something like that, or you power them, you pressure them to do what you want them to do, you are acting in a domestic violent manner. You are abusing your right. You are abusing the relationship that you have with this person. And the person that is being abused, we often refer to as the victim. And that's the person that can stop it. That's the person that can counter control it. That's the person that has the sway. You see, a person that is being pressured to do something that somebody else wants them to do, now not only is a victim, but that person will now become less of a person by giving in and going along with that kind of abuse. So the victim is the one that can stop it. You stop it by saying, you don't behave like that. You don't treat me like that. You don't talk to me like that. You don't have a relationship with me like that. And end that relationship. Because when the relationship starts to go sour, it's moody, it's nitpicking, it's put-downs, it's yelling, and there's drug abuse, and there's threatening, and there's withdrawal, and there's periods of silence because you won't talk, and there's criticism, and there's sullenness. I mean, all those kind of behaviors are signs that the abuse cycle is starting. And the victim can either go along with it and just give in and just accept it, or the victim can stand up and say, no way, you don't treat me like that. I'm not going to be treated like that, and this relationship is over. Now, that takes power. That takes courage. That takes determination. but it has to be done and has to be said. Because in the abuse cycle, it starts with just yelling and threatening and put-downs and criticisms and nitpicky kind of stuff and being moody because somebody didn't get their way. And being moody, they want you to change what you do so you'll do what they want you to do, and then they won't be moody anymore. That's manipulation. But that's the beginning of abuse, and it's going to get worse. So a victim of abuse at that point in time is in total control. You can go along with it and get more of it, or you can stop it and get out of it. That's where you get out of the abuse cycle, is at that point. It's easy to. Easy to end a relationship then. But once it becomes physically abusive and it becomes intolerable, then it's harder to end. Now, that's cycle number one. When a batterer, when an abuser tantalizes somebody to do what they want you to do by yelling and putting down and threatening and that kind of behavior. But if you go along with it, or you resist it once in a while, you don't put up with it all the time, it soon goes into a second level of abuse. And that's when we get into these various kinds of domestic violence. It's physical, it's sexual, it's emotional, it's verbal, it's financial, it's destructive. That's when the hitting takes place. That's when choking takes place. That's when humiliation takes place. Verbal abuse takes place. Destroying property takes place. Weapons are often used. Threat, rape, imprisonment, holding somebody back, keeping the power, not letting them have any money, not having them any freedom. When you get into that cycle, when you get into that part of the cycle, we're into an advanced stage of domestic violence, advanced stage of physical abuse and physical violence. And at that point in time, the relationship is totally ended. The relationship is totally gone. And there's no longer now a relationship. All you have now is a power struggle of one over the other. And the relationship, whatever way, however long it goes, will be just one of power struggle. Of you doing what I want you to do, and if you don't, I will hurt you. I will hurt you in some way. I will overpower you in some way. That's domestic violence. But you know, there's a third phase to domestic violence, what we call the cycle of violence. It starts with just being moody and just kind of being mildly upset and bothered so a person will do what you want them to do. And if they don't, then it gets into much more threatening and much more physical activity. So they'll do what you want them to do. And then after that, there's this kind of a period of guilt and shame that you've hurt somebody, that you've threatened somebody, or that you physically destroyed some of their property or something that's important to them, or you've been verbally abusive, or you've shined a weapon on them, or you've raped them, or you humiliated them in some way, you've choked them, you've hit them. You know, you feel badly for that. Often people will feel badly for that. Maybe the police will get involved, maybe a parent will get involved, maybe a third party will get involved, and then the batterer starts to feel badly. So what they do then is they start to ask for forgiveness. They start to say how sorry they are and make promises that they're going to be better and they're not going to do that behavior anymore, and they're ashamed of themselves and they'll never do it again, and they want to have a relationship. They want you to stay in the relationship. They don't want to lose you. They can't make it without you. Well, that's nonsense. That's nonsense, and don't believe it. All that person is doing is just trying to even the score and then start that vicious cycle of violence all over again. Because underneath it all, they have relationships based upon power, of control. And they use various forms of power to control somebody else, to get them to do what they want them to do. So after this little honeymoon stage where they really make all this forgiveness and all these promises to be different and to be better, and they are better and they are different for about 3 weeks, or maybe a month or two, and then all of a sudden this starts up again of this abuse verbally and yelling and threatening, and because it's important that they control somebody, and you're the person that's in their life now that they're controlling. They don't want you. They want you to be controlled. They want you to control. They want to control somebody, and it happens to be you. because the relationship is based upon control, not on kindness and friendship and companionship and loving relationships and peaceful relationships and just mutual fun and enjoyment and companionship. No, it's based upon control. And if I'm in control, if I have the power over you, if I'm the stronger one, then I feel good, then I feel important, then I feel valued, then I feel significant. So I have to have somebody to control. So if you're a victim of abuse, you can stop it today. You just get out of that relationship. You just tell that relationship, I'm done. It's over. We don't behave that way. And you've done it before, and you're going to do it again, and you'll do it again. So the relationship is done. It's over. Don't contact me, and go your way. And break that relationship totally. Finally and for all, never go back to it. Never go back to it. Because all you're going to go back to it is more abuse and more domestic violence of one kind or another. The police can help, but they can't solve it. Parents can help, but they can't solve it. You can run away, but you can't hide. You can get other people to help, but they can't solve it. The only person to solve domestic violence is the victim. The victim's got to stand up and say, no more. The victim's got to run and never turn around and come back. The victim has to get out of that relationship and never seek it again, never come back to it. The victim's in charge of domestic violence. The victim can go along with it, put up with it, try to understand it, try to be understanding, try to love it, try to be kind, try to overcome it, but it will never happen. The victim will find that situation occurring again and again. And some victims find it in multiple relationships. They go from one relationship to another because they don't know how to make decisions. They don't know how to judge the character of people. Come on, we have to judge people's character, and we have to relate to people on the basis of their character, not on the basis of what they promise, because promises are not often kept. And certainly with this population, promises are not kept. So this has been the Psychology Report, and I bring to you a very important message. Don't let violence of any form come into your personal life, your personal relationships. Stop it. You are the person that can stop it. Other people can help and support you, but you're the one that's got to pull the plug and do it. Now, Wellspring Foundation for Education, Rwanda, Africa. I'd like to just bring that organization to your attention. Christian organization that works with African students, both in a private school in Rwanda, but also out in the bush country and the rural areas into the public school system, working with 1,700 teachers, training them in teaching techniques and methodology and management of the classroom and subject matter, and trying to work through these 1,700 teachers to reach 92,000 students and provide them a quality education that otherwise they're not getting. The Wellspring Academy, Wellspring Foundation for Education in Rwanda is an organization that you need to know about. If you're in education or if you're concerned about Africa, you're concerned about children in another country being educated and what comes from that education obviously is good, then you need to look at the Wellspring Foundation for Education. I refer you to their website. That's the best place to go. www.thewellspringfoundation.org. That's www.thewellspringfoundation.org. Look it up, and there you'll see not only what they're doing, but you'll see the scope of what they're doing and the benefits of what they're doing and the kids that they're working with. And you know what? Send them a couple bucks. They need it. They'll benefit from it. And you'll be educating some of those rural kids in Africa that otherwise might not get a quality education and certainly would not get a Christian education. So I commend the Wellspring Foundation for Education to you. Bye for now. This has been the Psychology Report.